This isn't the podcast I expected to be doing. 1 year ago, when Flash Diaries mysteriously disappeared, it divided us. This podcast will be perfect when it covers
The Crisis!
The Crisis Diaries, a new episode streaming each week. There we go, we're halfway through Crisis. It's going to be a month or something till we get the rest of it, but mm-hmm. Wow, have we seen so much stuff. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. You know, normally when you watch the superhero shows, you kind of are on the assumption that your superheroes are not going to die. And this throws a lot of that out the window. So past TV shows that you may have enjoyed, you got to witness some of your favorite superheroes dying.
Die. Yeah, exactly. I'm a little bit, I got to say, the cameo at the beginning of this one was a little disappointing. And maybe it was just because we talked it up a little bit.
We did.
And to see, I mean, overall, well, I mean, there's two levels of the cameo, I think. There's the 3 to 10 second, thing, where, like the Batman and the two Batman cameos at the beginning of the series. Where you're like, okay, yeah, they died. That's fun. Okay, whatever. But then there's things like, and we talked about this last episode, Smallville, but then coming into this one, the new Gotham Birds of Prey TV show, you're like, oh, they have that. They got the girl. We know that Huntress is going to be on it. They've had a Huntress and Arrow, so it's kind of cool if they would team up. They have, they already have the girl who played, I guess, White Canary or whatever Canary,
one of the canaries.
In
Birds of Prey.
Yeah.
And the actress is currently playing Alice in Batwoman.
Exactly. So you're like, well, of course they're going to, this is going to be like, they're going to take both of them. And instead, what we get is a longer cameo, which is cool. No White Canary, but we did get the voice of Barbara. I'm actually pretty impressed with that. That was kind of cool. Like, I did not expect her voice to be part of this series.
So was it her? I didn't know if it was confirmed or not. Was that really?
Oh, I'm just assuming it was her.
I was actually assuming it wasn't. I was assuming they couldn't get her. But okay, maybe it was her.
She literally could have phoned it in.
Yes, literally. But before she went, she said, I'm forwarding all the relevant information to Alfred.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that they would leave that in the scene as if maybe there's some information about that Earth that has somehow been uploaded and is safe. I don't know.
Well, but remember, there was an Alfred in that series.
I know. And
yeah,
she sent it to him. So in doing so, why include that information in the scene?
Oh, interesting.
Right before everything gets wiped out. You know what I mean?
Other than just one more kind of weird reference?
Yeah. And that's possible. And maybe that's all that it is. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I want there to be more.
Right.
Like,
that's the thing. It wouldn't be the first time we've read into this.
To have this
too much.
Exactly. To have this actress in for at least a little bit and then have her come back in some aspect would be really, really cool. I mean, what would be really interesting is if she then suddenly was like on Batwoman.
Oh yeah, sure.
Like at the end of this season, at the end of this crisis, and if they do the merging of the Earths, maybe she just pops up in Batwoman, and then she's part of that group for some reason. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. That would be a fun way to do it.
I think there are a lot of fun possibilities, but I think we're also setting ourselves up for disappointment.
Oh yeah, no, there's no. I mean, like it would be fun, but unless. I mean, that's all things like that level of things needed to be talked about years ago at this point.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like they would have had to set up a contract and or maybe not. Maybe it's something that maybe everybody enjoyed this moment so much that they find a reason to add it next season. You know, she just pops up out of nowhere and you just realize that it's kind of back because of Crisis.
I'd like Burt Ward to visit Central City. I'd like to save all these people.
Yes, yes. I of all the characters so far, though, I feel like this one would be the one that makes the most sense in another show.
Like, she would work with Batwoman quite well.
Yeah, exactly.
And
exactly.
Arrow as well, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think Arrow is around, though, remember? So.
No, that's true, but there's going to be Mia's version of Arrow in the future.
Yeah,
so
yeah, and maybe she's
still
part
work
of that.
With her as well.
She's part of that, but she's also, yeah, I don't know. I like you said, Batwoman seems like the best place for her because Batwoman hasn't seen her own version of a Huntress yet.
Right, that's true.
So, I don't know. It'll be interesting.
But Batwoman exists on Earth 1, so she would be using Arrow's version of the Huntress.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Then we move on. White Canary, the new White Canary, makes a reference to the crossover, that it's his first crossover again. So,
yes.
Another the 15th reference.
Elongated Man, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was her. I don't know. It's been a week, so.
Oh, you know what? It was Frost, I think, that said that.
That's a possibility, yeah.
But yeah, it's Elongated Man. He's kind of ignorant about how this stuff works.
Yeah.
We got to catch him up. But let's go over the actual Paragons and who they are.
Okay.
All right, so Hope is Supergirl.
Yes.
Truth is Superman 96.
Yeah.
Courage is Batwoman. Destiny is White Canary.
Correct.
Honor is John Jones, the Martian Manhunter.
Yep.
Love is Flash of Earth 1. And Humanity is Adam 2 of Earth 1, or Ryan Choi.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'm jumping the gun because I know him from the comic books as Adam 2.
No, totally, totally. And you're just like, oh, this is interesting. I wonder what that means, because anytime they have a name, you're like, well, I know 15 different things about that. And and that's one of the reasons that doing this podcast was so hard originally, was because there's so much history in there that when they throw a name out there, you've got like all these things. Whereas like originally the podcast that me and Nick used to do used to be about things like Lost. Well, not Lost. We didn't do Lost, but inspired by Lost, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, nobody knows what this is happening. But when you meet, you know, Choi, you're like, well, that's Adam too, so let's see what that happens. You know what I mean? Like when you meet a Ralph Dibny, you're like, well, I know what's going to happen with him.
Exactly.
So, yeah, lots of stuff like that. I love the Cisco is just mad that nobody's consulting him anymore about these names, and he's like,
about
the anti-monitor, really? The anti-monitor? Can't we workshop that a little bit? This is
It's like, this isn't a thing, Cisco. They have names.
Yeah. So then we also get when I've been watching this stuff on CW's online web app, you keep seeing commercials for this, and for a moment I was like, oh, wouldn't it be really neat if they crossed over randomly with the guy from Forever, because they keep pushing that TV show on you from the CW seed. It was the one about the guy who could never die. He only had one season.
I tune this out.
Okay.
Tune out the commercials. I don't know what Forever is or anything.
It's just this guy who every time he dies, he comes back in a body of water. And so he doesn't really age or anything. And it was interesting. It was fun. But I think it's on CW Seed now or something. So they keep playing commercials the same way they played commercials for Birds of Prey. And I was like, oh, that would be kind of funny. But then when I was thinking about that, I was like, oh, you know what would be really neat? Since it's over, let's just bring Lucifer into this. Like, why not? Why not? And then they do it. And you're
they
just like,
it.
Yes. Like when they go to that place, I think it's Earth 666 or something like that. Or at least somebody online called it that. I don't know if they actually it popped up.
Yeah, I don't know if they gave it a name. Well, they talked about, what do you call it? Purgatory.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know if this whole thing from the club to the island all is purgatory. It's just the island that is purgatory. I don't know.
Yeah. To me, the island would have been purgatory. But yeah, so is there one purgatory for everybody, or does each Earth have its own purgatory? Like, is there one hell? Is there multiple hells? You know what I mean? Like lots of stuff like that. But when they go here and they start to knock at the door, you're like, oh, did they? Are they going to do it? And then you see Lucifer and you're just like, that's awesome. That is by far the best. to me, the most surprising cameo in the entire thing. The only thing that would be more surprising to me is if for some reason we actually made reference to Gotham.
Oh, from Fox.
Yeah.
Yeah. But with Lucifer, was there anything else that was giving an indication that this tied in with DC Comics or any sort of DC continuity?
I mean, other than the fact that he's from DC continuity.
Okay, so I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah. Lucifer is based on a comic book that was part, I think, Vertigo.
Okay.
Yeah, so he technically is part of DC's publishing line. I don't know how often he's okay. interfered with other people, but yeah.
And then is Constantine also from Vertigo?
Yes.
So have the characters regularly interacted in the comic books?
I do not know the answer to that. I didn't really read Vertigo or Constantine's titles or anything like that. But I have a feeling that probably at some point, you know, whether or not they were in the format that makes sense to this crisis, but I'm sure they have interacted at some point. You know, I'm sure Constantine has dealt with somebody named Lucifer. Now the question is, at what point did they actually come full circle with Lucifer and go, oh, maybe it's this guy from this character kind of thing.
Yeah.
And for the most part, the TV show Lucifer was sort of standalone. It didn't really have any references to anything DC, even like not even really Easter eggs as far as I could tell. Like,
and there was no Constantine crossover within Lucifer ever.
No.
Right?
No, okay. No. And that also brings up weird things like Dr. Fate. Fate's helmet was in Constantine's TV show. I think at one point DC claimed that Constantine's TV show isn't necessarily the same universe as Constantine in Legends of Tomorrow.
Right. It's a different actor, right?
No, same actor, but not necessarily. Yeah, same actor.
Oh,
but
wow.
I think they claim, I think the concept is they're different universes, except for the fact that the girl that was the kid he lost in the TV series that sort of started his whole like downward spiral arc that we meet him most of the way through when we start the TV series. I think the name is the same name as the girl who will probably play a large part in this next season of Legends, because she was the one who took the coins of all the like historical bad guys at the end of that season of last season of Legends.
Okay. I didn't finish Legends. So.
Okay. Not a big deal, 'cause it doesn't really ruin that season, but like it's clearly the kickoff to what next season's going to be.
Okay.
Yeah. Lucifer, mind blown, like boom. I mean, almost as much as, Batman, both of the Batman, I don't know, like maybe even more interesting to me, just because I actually watched those Lucifer. I mean, I watched Batman and Batman 66 too, but like, I don't know, more out of left field for me. And I enjoyed that so much. He just shows up, does his thing, and then we're done.
So I know that Tom Welling has been on Lucifer, at least this, I've been told this.
Yes.
I never watched the show.
Yes, that's funny too.
Does this lend themselves to another Tom Welling crossover?
Not really, but that would be cool.
Mm-hmm. Also, not to skip over it, but Pariah resurrected Vibe. Cisco has his Vibe powers back.
Yeah. Without even any... Was it? Pariah, I'm forgetting now. It was Pariah, not the monitor.
Maybe. I don't remember. Maybe it was the monitor, the regular monitor.
It makes more sense if it's the monitor, but we don't.
I guess.
Yeah. So they get into the chamber where we find out that the antimatter gun is being powered by the Flash, the Flash. From 1990 on his treadmill.
On his cosmic treadmill.
Yeah.
He stepped aboard his cosmic treadmill from deep inside his secret lair.
Yes, exactly. So We don't play that one anymore. But
I know. For those of you that are fans of this podcast, exactly. Listen to earlier episodes.
I mean, at this point, nobody's finding this podcast new. These are just people who happen to have kept it on their feed.
Yes,
and are
exactly.
like, hey, wait,
so they
are
get
new
the
episodes?
Reference. Exactly. They know what I'm talking about.
Exactly. And so that was a fun thing. I like the whole concept of like the monitor said a Flash needed to die, not necessarily you. You know, right. like, and I liked that. I mean, I thought we finally see Ship's Flash die.
Yeah.
And like you said, he didn't necessarily die in the Elseworlds. He was just transported somewhere else. But
right.
But then he was transported somewhere, and then the anti-monitor just was like, oh, hey, look at that, and picked him up. Like, how yeah. unresponsible are you, Monitor? I mean, like, I yeah. feel like you're setting a lot of these things up for the anti-monitor just to pick up and move forward with.
Yeah, the Monitor really is incompetent, I have to say it. But yeah, he zaps him somewhere and just forgets about him, and then his arch rival's like, oh, perfect.
Yeah. And then,
but I loved John Wesley Shipp's Flash, him interacting with Barry. I really felt like these two interacting could have been done more leading up to Crisis, honestly.
Okay.
Like, it was so good. I mean, like, this is what Crisis is all about. It's referring to earlier shows. The fact that John Wesley Shipp has always been on this rendition of The Flash is awesome, and that he's been available. So, like, why not have that interaction more?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But, yeah, yeah. No,
but
I understand.
Just get this little scene with them together.
And they've built up such nice chemistry because they have worked together as Shipp's been multiple people.
Of course.
And all of them great father figures for Barry. So like this is in some ways, this is a scene that's been played out 5-6 times now.
Yeah. But in this respect, it wasn't an arch rival murdering him in front of Barry. He was self-sacrificing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I appreciate this. I love him threatening Flash, I mean, Vibe to put him back in and Vibe stepping up and going, sorry, Barry, I'm going to do this myself. You know?
Right.
Great scene. And then and then Pariah brings in Black Lightning for no real apparent reason.
Well, there was a weak reason, but because there's that force field.
Oh yeah, that's right. That they needed Black Lightning to try to slow down the gun while they figured this thing out. And we're going to actually talk about Black Lightning a little bit later this episode.
Okay, cool.
Which only be like
There's
minutes
some
from
more
now, but
for that, which I did not see the episode that this is referring. But
no,
anyway.
It's okay.
But no, I thought it was really cool. Like when Barry's like, I wish we had more time. And then they go into Flash time. I was like, oh, this is so, I just absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
Like John Wesley Shipp, like you said, he's taking on the father figure role as he is meant to do with Grant Gustin. And they just have this heart to heart talk. But it all comes to a climax on the cosmic treadmill.
Yeah.
With the music from the 1990 Flash, which I just absolutely love. Danny Elfman score.
Yeah, more Danny Elfman.
And you get that flashback from the show with him and Tina McGee.
Yeah. Which just goes to remind you, hey, wait, Tina McGee, you used to be on this show. Why did we only see two episodes with her and then we never saw her again?
Yeah, and there was like a little bit of a thing with her and Henry Allen before.
Oh, I know. That was awesome. And then nope. And you're just like, "Come on, guys. This...
You killed him off."
Oh, that was for the boomers. No, you know, like oh. Anyways.
Yep.
So that's really cool. I appreciated all of that, and in some ways we do kind of get to this like weird medium place halfway through Crisis. Apparently, we run into the Spectre. And he's been, actually, Jim has been a character on both Gotham and Constantine. I think both of those shows at one point had a character named Jim.
Okay. And Gotham, I know this Constantine mentioned that he didn't recognize this version of Jim.
Yes, exactly, because it was a different character. I mean, okay. I think it's a different actor.
Different
but
actor,
it,
yeah.
I think, I don't know necessarily who this actor was, but one of the cops, or like an FBI agent at the very beginning of Gotham, was Jim. And then they just sort of wrote those characters off real fast.
Oh, and he never became Spectre on
Gotham? He never got anywhere close to being Spectre.
I mean, I guess that makes sense. You're not going to go godlike on Fox's Gotham.
Yeah, Gotham didn't really make any sense for him to be the Spectre. So it was more of like a teaser. Sort of like the way they called Diggle's wife Harbinger in season one.
Right.
They were like, oh, we're just going to do an Easter egg. This will be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever thought it was going to lead to actually being the Harbinger.
No, apparently it did.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of Harbinger, we all know based on the comic books that at some point part of her betrays the Monitor and kills the Monitor. It's part of her story. And then in this story is even like sort of taken over by the Anti-Monitor. And the Anti-Monitor actually speaks through her.
Right.
Which is
kind of unfortunate because the only time we get to see the Anti-Monitor is in a brief moment in the second episode of Crisis on Infinite Earths. And I was like, I kind of wanted to see more of the Monitor, not just Harbinger speaking like the Anti-Monitor.
Yeah, maybe there's some thing if the actor plays the Monitor and the Anti-Monitor at the same time in an episode, he has to get paid like...
Oh.
A little bit more or something. So they're like, okay, well, we'll get rid of the Monitor and then he'll just come back for a single role as the Anti-Monitor in the next
two episodes.
Or he just
didn't like that makeup.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure we're going to see a lot more of the Anti-Monitor next two episodes.
I hope so. Or it could just be Harbinger the whole time.
Oh, yeah, no, that would be disappointing. Because she kind of comes back to the good side after he releases her, kind of, in the comic book.
Oh, okay. So, well, then that would make sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she actually survives the crisis, I believe, and is even in the in-universe floating around just randomly as one of the people who... I think she's one of the few people who even remember that crisis happened. And so she's looking for a place to be, kind of. She's sort of lost for a while. Yeah.
In Psycho Pirate.
Yep. And so... what do we get? But the Anti-Monitor, well, the Monitor ends up saving them all.
Pariah. Yeah. Pariah saves them all. He transports them all to, what was it, a Wave Rider? Where are they?
They are in at, I forgot, Farpoint, not Fourpoint, something like that. It's the place they went in Legends the first season.
Some sort of a time... Nexus?
Yeah, it's at the end of time, kind of. It's outside of time and space. I believe that's where they kind of, that's where the time police were originally located at one point and little things like that. We saw that the first season of Legends.
Okay.
So they end up there and then out of nowhere, well, not out of nowhere, out of Superman, comes
Lex. Superman 96. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just like, okay. Well, I mean, you kind of knew Lex was still going to be part of this somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was an interesting cliffhanger and an interesting kind of like, well, what's next kind of thing. So,
yeah. How did you feel about the offing of Earth 96 Superman there?
I'm a little disappointed that we overall that alternate Earth characters aren't as important as I had hoped they would be.
Right. Yeah, me too.
We now basically, I mean, like, who's based on who's left, nobody's really not Earth One even.
Earth 38 Supergirl.
Well, Supergirl, yeah.
And and John Jones is also Earth 38.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so Earth One and and so it's a weird combination. Is I understand you want those character, like the actors, to be on the main seven. And so you're like, okay, we need those actors. But like, it would have been interesting if the Supergirl was a Supergirl from a different place. But we can't do Supergirl.
Sure.
Supergirl, Ollie, and Flash, maybe not. But then the rest of them, maybe John Jones is actually the John Jones of Earth 4 or something. Like,
okay,
but so you still have the actor and you still kind of have the character, but it's
well. This goes
but
back to what we were talking about before, right? It's like in the opening of the show, you offed the Birds of Prey Huntress. She
yeah.
could have been a paragon.
Yeah.
We had Burt Ward from Earth 66. There's no reason why he couldn't be a paragon. There's all sorts of possibilities that you could have gone with to give a little more diversity. But you're right. You didn't choose so. And clearly it's not an issue with Brandon Routh as an actor because he's an actor on Legends. So
Yeah. No,
there's
it's
no reason to get rid of him either.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, you needed Lex to be there, I think. But it was a bummer that now we're back to the same group of people that we always kind of are. And it's not even like doppelgangers of those people. It's literally the same people we always deal with.
I had a bit of an issue with Lex's ease of just murdering Superman here and there. It's like, I thought Superman was really hard for you to beat, Lex. And you're beating him all the time.
Well, Lex is coming in with knowledge and kryptonite to a lot of these things, and you've got to think that he's also rewriting the rules so it's easier for him to kill these guys.
I figure, you know, with the magic book, right?
Yeah.
He's doing all sorts of stuff, but at the same time, it's like, no. You've had access to a lot of information in the past and a lot of power and kryptonite, mind you, in the past. And you have not been able to fell Earth 38 Superman ever. But you're going to Earth 75 and like, oh, they're like, oh, no, Superman's dead. How is this possible? It's like, yeah, how is this possible? Because you have a Lex Luthor also. Now,
you know
give
how
me that.
The higher the number of Earth, the weaker the Superman is. I mean, like, that's just knowledge. No, I'm just joking.
And then he offs the Earth 96 Superman, who's, by the way, not so difficult to fell either.
Yeah,
and he's like, I did it.
Well, no, that
really?
Was, I would not even count that as him offing that Superman.
Mm-hmm.
I think he just changed the book and it, like that wasn't, and maybe it's Lex, so he was a little bit like, well, let me erase the one that's Superman. But I really don't get that. I don't buy that as an offing. But I agree with you. It was
but
a little weird.
He had like some red erupting, like it was the antimatter from that wiped everyone else out. So, but I think essentially they switched places is what happened. It's
Brandon they just
Routh
made it
got
seem
transferred.
Crazier.
Yeah, he got transferred back to where Luther's prison was, which was wiped out by antimatter.
Yeah.
But anyway, to back to what we're talking about. He crossed off the Paragon logo, which, again, we were trying to decipher. It seems like the Paragon of Truth's logo is essentially an upside-down Superman symbol. We thought it was an arrow symbol.
Yeah, it looked like an arrow symbol to me.
Yeah,
but
you flip it upside down, it is also a Superman logo.
Yeah, it's so weird because at the same time, I don't... We're going to relook at those logos for the next episode that we do. Mm-hmm. But it almost feels like they came up with seven weird looking shapes and they don't even matter. Like they don't mean anything.
Well, yeah, they could justify it any way they want.
Yeah.
To.
So we're going to take a look and see if we can figure out more from that now that we know who the Paragons are.
But I do think
are.
One of them is very Flash like.
Okay.
Which I said earlier, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of where we're left off. Every world has been destroyed and it's just up to the seven of these guys. Oh, that was the other thing I wanted to say. Yeah. Also, Smallville could have played such a deeper part in this show, even though they don't necessarily have to care about that next, you know, afterwards, but there are so many characters. I mean, first of all, the fact that you're not pulling all the Green Arrows together at some point. Come on.
Smallville, Green Arrow. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Or Green Arrow. There's so many other characters from Smallville, Aquaman, some other people.
Right.
Like you could have had a good five or six person team. Have the Justice League from Smallville fighting for a while on behalf of these people. And maybe they get wiped out before they go to this waypoint or whatever. But, but so many opportunities to include so many other characters that we haven't even seen. There was a Blue Beetle. There was a, you know what I mean? Like there was a Booster Gold. There was the Wonder Twins. Like so many opportunities to pull those characters out that we haven't seen on the other shows yet since the Arrowverse existed. Like, yeah. So many opportunities for that, and they didn't really do anything with that. They were just like, here is the one superhero, and he's not even a superhero anymore.
Yeah.
That being said, seeing Wellington again was really nice.
Yeah, it was
I also
can't deny having that in the show. So yeah. It was nice that it was there.
And at any point, I would be totally okay if Rosenbaum became the Lex that we were talking about instead of Cryer.
Sure, absolutely.
Like this would have been a perfect time. Just have Rosenbaum come out of this and be like, what just happened?
And that's and Cryer, what I want to see. I want John Cryer grabbing his stomach and red energy coming out. And he turns into Michael Rosenbaum.
Yeah, yeah. The excuse is like, well, as long as I was rewriting the world, I might as well give myself a better looking face, you know, like or something like that. I think it would be awesome.
Especially, I think it would just be cool that Rosenbaum felled a Cryer. He was just been monitoring the thing the whole time, and he's like,
yeah, yeah.
I'm not going out like this.
You actually think it is Rosenbaum as opposed
yes.
to me? It would be It would be the Lex. That from Earth 38, but he just gave himself a new hairdo. A new look.
I have too much respect for Rosenbaum's Luther to have him go out like that.
There you go. Hey, still like it. I like it. Rosenbaum showing up at some point would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
but it's not going to happen. So
no. Okay. So that was Crisis. So far,
that was the first half of Crisis, correct?
Not 100% sure why we have to wait. You know, they had it perfectly set up for a week's worth of TV shows, and then they went and pushed the other half back. I don't know why.
I think there's a bit of brilliance to it because not everyone's going to have seen these when they first air.
Okay.
So now that there is a hiatus, and now that there can be buzz going on the internet and interpersonally. There are people that have missed it that can be like, oh, what is this thing about? It's like, oh, no, this is Crisis and all these crossovers. You ever seen Batman 66? You might want to see this. You ever seen Batman 89? You might want to see this. Yada, yada, yada. And they're like, well, I don't want to be lost. It's like, well, then you got to watch last season's Elseworlds. And those are all on Netflix. And it's like, well, and if you're still lost, there's all these seasons that are on Netflix that you can watch up to this point. You've got a whole month to binge watch.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I see that. It's sort of like how I'd be really interesting to see how The Mandalorian changes the way like Netflix does things, because I think I think The Mandalorian coming out once a week as opposed to Stranger Things, which comes out all at one time.
Yeah, but Hulu had done this with Handmaid's Tale as well. Oh,
no, lots of other places, but I feel like Mandalorian is the is the big example now. Like,
it's
I feel
the most
like
successful example.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think
you're right.
And while people sort of talk about Stranger Things for maybe 2 to 3 weeks after it comes out, by having The Mandalorian stretch out, people are talking about it for a week until the next episode comes out. And then they're talking about that for a week, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. And I remember when Netflix was first saying they were doing the next season of Arrested Development after the season had been off the air for several years. And then they just released it all in one thing. And I was like, oh, I wanted to kind of savor this.
Yeah.
But yeah, Netflix has never done that. But you're right. Other streaming services have figured it out. There is an advantage to it. If you have an internet buzz, you can start to accumulate an audience with a sequential release.
Yeah. And they do it a little bit. I mean, when recently they've started playing Great British Bake Off weekly instead of just updating the whole thing at the end of the season. They kind of have, I think it's still like a week or two off when it airs in England, but they're doing it week by week instead of just plopping the whole thing down.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so you know, they don't always not do that, but
think
it is.
It's clever. I think because by doing it weekly, you're giving people the opportunity to catch up to a regular release, but also those who can't wait, they can just wait till all the seasons released, and then they just binge watch it once it's all out.
Exactly.
There.
It can always be binge watched afterwards.
Right.
You know, there's no reason. Yeah, I agree.
You have both those options. I think it's great.
Okay. Speaking of other TV shows.
Yes.
So the day after this third part of Crisis, we got an episode of Black Lightning.
Yes. Fill me in.
And the name of that episode was Book of Something, Chapter 4, Earth Crisis.
Okay.
So there's crisis in the title. And then apparently what it is one of his daughters has been I'm so far lost from this whole thing. And apparently it doesn't even seem like he's a teacher, like a principal anymore. Like, I don't know what's happening. But both his daughters have superpowers. And one of his daughters, the younger one, is part of like being used by like the government against this other, for some reason, the town has been, quarantined, like it's nuts. But basically what it is one of the youngest daughter has been being used by this guy from the government, and she's trying to do what's right, but at the same time she's not sure if he's just using her for her abilities. And as she ponders this, the red skies appear, and the antimatter sort of takes her and sort of throws her into this void with two other versions of her from different Earths. Technically, they call them Earth 1 and Earth 2, but it was a little weird because Earth 2 is technically dead. Right. So the timing of that calling the other one Earth 2 is a little strange, I think.
They didn't quite catch them up when they made this episode.
Exactly. But I think Black Lightning, having an episode of Black Lightning that is pretty, almost more heavily dealing with crisis than some of the other main characters is an interesting concept. And this truly does feel like like one of those crossover event books where it's like, oh, here's the main crisis, but it also shows up in this book and this book and this book. So the girl's name is Jennifer, and she meets two other Jens from different universes. One who went one direction really hard, and is actually in prison for poisoning the water so that everybody loses their metahuman genes. Mm. But that was her way of keeping the peace. And then another one who has worked for this government guy or something and is basically a hired killer. And it has, so she's gone the other direction really hard. And so she sort of lives with those two other, it lives parts of their lives simultaneously for a little bit, and just see, I mean, basically she gets to see where the two extremes of what she's been doing would have gone. These are both potential possibilities of characters that she could have turned into had she made different choices. So there's a big moral thing like that, you know, she gets to see all that stuff, but it's really interesting that it plays with the different dimensions. And then at the end, everybody's wiped out, but suddenly Black Lightning is taken in a black, in a white light. And that's how the story ends. So
interesting.
I found it really interesting as somebody who's not actually watching the show. Now the question is, I don't know how, if I were watching the show, whether or not I like this or not, especially because of the way the show is built up and because of the way everything is happening in the show. I will find it really interesting if anything in that show actually changes next episode.
Right.
You know,
yeah, because I remember seeing him in Crisis and him talking about how now his daughters are gone and his whole world is gone. I was like, you just wiped out all that continuity for the show you just started like a couple years ago? What, really? Yeah.
I cannot believe that they don't then at some point go back to exactly where they were. It might now be on Earth 1 or, you know, the same Earth as everybody else. Now here's the other question. Mm-hmm. Are we coming out of this crisis with one Earth? Because I would find it very weird for them to do that.
Yes, I agree. Specifically because you've got the DC Unlimited universe with Titans. What are they calling that online?
Whatever that
subscription
is.
Service. But I cannot imagine they're going to bring Teen Titans from the online subscription service into Earth 1, where people are watching everything else on the CW.
Yeah, yeah.
I could not imagine that. Although, stranger things have happened, and there is a justification for it. It's your backdoor promotion for it.
Yeah.
If you want to have Hawk and Robin showing up in Central City, and people want to learn more about these characters, then, hey, you know what you can do? You can subscribe to our service.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in that respect, it would be clever, but I just don't see them doing that. I don't know.
I mean, that's the thing that I've been saying for years. They could actually do the Flash of Two Worlds story, but the second world is actually the Flash from the movies, and just put that up like on like Christmas before the movie comes out or something. And like, that's a brilliant way to do it. Yeah, it's interesting. I can't see them not returning most of these characters back to their own universes.
Well,
at least
see
the ones that are running right now. I'm hoping,
but, I mean,
Supergirl,
it makes sense to merge some of these Earths, right?
Yeah. I'm hoping Supergirl gets merged.
Yes.
You could potentially bring Black Lightning into the Earth One and just sort of say it's all happening in this city that nobody else has talked about ever before, and it's sort of over there and they don't, but then once again you have that Iron Man 3 issue, which is like, well, now that we've seen the Avengers, how do we not have them coming in at any moment? You know, how is Captain America not on this case when the president gets kidnapped?
But as a writer, I could easily justify it. I mean, if Black Lightning's dealing with stuff on an urban local level, it might just be not to the level that, you know, Superman's not going to show up for, you know?
No, I understand.
So, and I don't see Black Lightning going, oh, if only I had the help of, you know, Supergirl and Batwoman right now. It's like, no, I'm a superhero. I can handle these things on my own.
Yeah.
And they're not going to write those kind of plots in Black Lightning, right? It's like, the universe is ending, Black Lightning, and only you can save it.
Yeah, no, I don't think they will, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeah. It's going to be interesting. One other note that we had, the Earth 2 Jennifer in Black Lightning says, I am the Authority. And Authority is also another, I'm pretty sure it's a DC comic. Where they sort of
is
took
she
the
from Crisis.
What?
Is she
Authority.
The monitor.
No, Authority was one of these other, like the Wildcat universe or whatever that was. It was another universe, and basically it was a ripoff of the Justice League, but all of them were like not good people. You know what I mean? Like they sort of like if the Justice League formed the Justice League and then decided, okay, now we're in charge of the world and we're going to take over. And they were not great people. You know what I mean? Like, the only thing I really remember, and this isn't saying that they're not great people, but this was the twist, is in that universe, their Superman and their Batman are lovers.
Okay.
Yeah, which is for some reason that's the only thing I remember.
They are men, so they're gay lovers. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. All right. It was one of those edgier books from like the 90s and stuff. I think I have a copy of the first trade or something of them. But it's fun because it's fun for them to use the concept of authority. Like I don't know if they're even aware that they made that reference, but to me it stuck out. So I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Yeah. We will maybe be back next week, depending on how we record.
As long as the antimatter doesn't wipe us out.
Yes, exactly. We're going to probably look at a couple of different things. We'll look at those symbols and maybe check out some other things that have popped up here and there about Crisis. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And we'll be back, I guess.
In a flash.